Mapping the Culinary World, Bulgaria is what we are going through today. Many things yogurt related, along with, you know, some great sausages and meats and things. But let's be honest, Bulgaria is a salad mecca. It's got tons of salads of all kinds, none of which include leafy greens. How does that work? Well, listen to our Mapping the Culinary World, Bulgaria. Let's get into it. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mapping Our Culinary World. We are visiting Bulgaria, and when I say we, it is me and buddy of the pod, Joel. How's it going, Joel?
Oh, it's going great. I'm here, ready to do this thing.
Well, yeah, I'm ready to do this thing too, because the Republic of Bulgaria, it is a country in Southeast Europe. It occupies the whole eastern part of the Balkans and is bordered by Romania to the north, Serbia and North Macedonia to the west, Greece and Turkey to the south, and the Black Sea to the east, which is connected to a lot of other territories. Bulgaria covers a territory of 110,994 square kilometers, which is pretty much 42,855 square miles. And it is the 16th largest country in Europe. So that's a distinction. 16th.
16th. High on the list.
Woo! Yeah.
How many countries are even in Europe?
A lot. I'd say it's like 40 or 50 something. Yeah.
So 16 is high on the list, but also, you know,
right.
Maybe yeah. Invade some neighbors and grow it a little or something. I have no idea.
Right. Yeah. And so the major cities, we've got Plovdiv, Varna, and Burgas. The currency is the lev, or LEV. And on the stock tickers and stuff, it is a BGN, or if you want to label it. The population, it's gone down in recent years, but it's about 6,863,000. The official language is Bulgarian. I wonder how many people speak that outside of Bulgaria. That's my question. That's probably a rare one, I think.
An okay amount, but yeah. Not like a huge one.
Yeah. And then their capital city is Sofia. That's right.
Oh, that's a pretty name.
That is, yeah. And it is also its largest city. So Sofia, Bulgaria. Going over interesting quotes here. In Bulgarian, I'm not going to read it because I can't. It does have a English, what they call translation here. And it's like, Chovek Edalgo is Resheni Napasano.
English.
It's just English letters.
Bulgarian.
Yeah. It's Bulgarian. Yeah. The meaning is, a man is a long sentence written with much love and inspiration, but full of spelling errors. Yeah. Men, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. All those spelling errors.
Yeah. Jordan Radichkov was a great Bulgarian writer of the 20th century. He was also a dramatist, a screenwriter, and is a representative of a magical realism. It's a satirical quote, reveals the essence of life in one short but wise saying. Essentially, men are long and loving and inspiring, but they're dumb. That is what I'm getting out of that.
Much love and inspiration, but you know, we stumble while we're coming up with that.
Yeah. And then some other interesting little like cultural isms. They say all the time, don't leave today's work for tomorrow if you can do it the day after tomorrow.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It says, this is a funny twist of the original proverb, and it's a perfect example of the laid-back approach Bulgarians take to life. Although they take pride in being a hardworking nation, working yourself to death is not considered a virtue.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Bulgaria. being diligent in what you do and knowing how to enjoy a good meal and a drink after is equally important in the Balkan country. Amen.
I like this place more and more.
Yeah, this is great. If I feel like working, I sit down and wait for it to pass.
Yeah, I do like this. I like this place a lot. I think I'll put this down on the places I need to visit.
Exactly, yeah. This life approach is mainly attributed to people from the Shopluk region. It alludes to the cunning way in which they're said to get their work done and to their relaxed attitude on life's hardships. Basically, they're always in search of the easy way.
Smart. That's not.
It is a smart way.
That's not an easy way. That's smart.
I know.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a good one. The credit on these, by the way, just to throw those out there, I Googled just what are interesting quotes about Bulgaria, and one of them, I believe, was their like tourist site, and that was where I've gotten the phrases and stuff. The other one was from Find a Quote, and like, yeah. That's the one that went over the author and such. But anyway, the last one here, even if I'm alone on the tram, I'll push and poke anyway. this is another
pushing and poking to like get off the tram or
no, I think it's more like they're annoyed. Like they will be always like annoyed and wanting to get like they'll always want to be like on their own moving forward. Right. Like they don't ever like being in like not independent. Right. So it says here, this is. Yeah, I know. I just said a ton of words. Yeah. This is another piece of Shopluk of wisdom that has been part of the urban folklore for several decades. On many occasions, their mischievous character and strict beliefs might cause them to act irrationally at times. Yeah.
Sounds like me. I think I was born here.
You might be. You thought you were Danish, but
quarter Danish, but yeah. I'm a half Bulgarian.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah, but no. I mean, going over influences here for Bulgarian cuisine, it is similar to that of the Balkan countries and demonstrates strong Turkish and Greek influences, according to the Wikipedia article over Bulgarian cuisine. Yogurt, lukanka, banitsa, shapska salad, liutinitsa, and kozanok are among the best known local foods. Meat consumption is lower than the European average, given a cultural preference for a large variety of salads.
Okay, I changed my mind.
Well, hold on. I mean, potato is a salad, right?
Not a salad.
Macaroni is a salad. I mean, that's, you know.
These are cheap tricks that you use.
These analogies definitely not correct. No,
it is not correct. What you say are lies.
But Bulgaria was the world's second largest wine exporter until 1989, but has since lost that position.
Who'd they lose it to?
I don't know. There's two little links for articles that I guess I could read about it. If I had to guess, I mean, France, I would assume, is number one. And Italy has to be in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Middle Eastern, you know, winemakers and such.
Oh, God. Okay. Largest. You said exporter, right? Yeah.
Second. They were the second largest.
Second largest. But now it's in order of France, Italy, then Spain, and Australia, then Chile, and then United States. Bulgaria ain't even on the list.
Yeah. 1989. They're at
number 33 now. So they've lost out a lot.
That is a large drop. That is, man. They're like, we're done with wine.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I know, like, with climate destabilization being a thing that's like really affecting where and how wines can be grown.
Yeah.
So maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, an economy, right? Like if you're a vineyard, you know, operator, and it's like, hey, some land opened up in France, you know, time to start learning some French.
UK's getting huge into wine. UK and Canada. They're both like getting way more into growing wine.
Yeah. I kind of wish the Russians would get into growing wine instead of wars, you know?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be nice. Yeah. Russian winemaking. That's how you convince the people.
Really high alcohol content for wine, I'm sure.
Yeah, just every,
they're like, this is nothing. I wouldn't like it. I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Why you give me this grape juice?
You know? Exactly. Like,
yeah. I tell you. Stereotypes, I will fall into them every time. I think that's
because we're horrible people.
Right. We're not good. Yeah. Yeah.
This is fine.
This is fine.
People didn't sign up for this to listen to two saints talk about food.
Right. Exactly.
They're listening to us.
Yeah. Go listen to Mother Teresa's podcast.
Yeah.
You jerks.
Find it.
You can find.
I won't tell you the title, but I know what it is.
Yeah. But the comfort food dishes in Bulgaria, you have a jar of lutanica or lutanica or liutinica. It is one of the essential food items in almost every Bulgarian and North Macedonian household. This famous relish, which lies somewhere between a spread and a chutney, is made with red peppers, chili peppers, tomatoes, onion, salt, sugar, and oil. The peppers are roasted, seeded, and cut into larger chunks. Subsequently, they are fried and simmered with other ingredients and oil and water until they develop the right consistency. Liutinica is traditionally consumed as a spread accompanied by bread, crackers, or toast. And this is from tasteatlas.com, going over Bulgarian foods. It just looks like a mixture of, like, it's like a tomato sauce but with no herbs. And it looks kind of like a salsa, like in consistency. But then it also looks somewhat like hot sauce / chili oil-ish.
Yeah, I look at it and
it's like sriracha chili garlic, you know, the thicker paste type. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
I try it. I don't think I'd be down for it, but I still try it.
Oh, yeah. I think
that's an essential food item. I'm like, okay, go off, queen. That's fine.
That's all you say. They're like, please try our lutanica. And you're like, go off, queen. Whatever. Like. They're like,
put
please,
a little bit
here's...
on my pinky.
And yeah, then... yeah. You're like, I'll try a tad.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm sure it's delicious for other people's mouths.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, you gotta think if it's on every table, it's an essential item. I mean, you know, a lot of people can be wrong about things, but food sometimes is not one of them.
I don't know. I'm wrong about food like 80% of the time, guaranteed. So
really? 80?
80? For sure. I might be cutting myself too low. Like, it might be 90.
90.
I don't know what I'm doing here, folks, but...
Yeah.
Devin said, come on the show, and I said, okay.
I love Bulgaria.
I like to talk about food that I look at and go, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, I would try a pinky's worth.
Yeah, one dollop on my pinky, please.
And then the next one here is kebabche. It is a Bulgarian dish consisting of spiced minced meat, beef, pork, or a combination of both, shaped into small sausages, kind of like kebab. Yeah. The meat must be grilled, not fried, so don't be frying it. And it's a staple of many Bulgarian festivities and celebrations, pairing extremely well with a glass of cold beer. Not wine, because they're now 33rd in wine.
Yeah, they don't do wine, they do beer.
Right. The name of the dish is derived from the word kebab. Oh, you don't say. It's a popular grilled meat dish, so kebabche can be translated as little kebab. It is said that the dish probably arrived in Bulgaria with the Ottomans in the 14th or 15th century. And at the beginning of the 20th century, the dish was so popular that one couldn't pass a street corner in Sofia without seeing one of the numerous kebabche stands, which were almost always associated with a brewery. Yeah.
Okay.
Beer and kebabche. That's what people are going for.
What's this next thing?
This next thing is Bulgarian fried rice. It's not, actually. It kind of looks that way.
I was going to say, there's no rice.
it's piecey. It's got a lot of pieces. It's, yeah. You know. But it's translated as a mixture of different things. This traditional Bulgarian dish is prepared with eggs and a typical summer vegetable, such as tomatoes and peppers. There is also a winter variety of the dish that is usually made with frozen roasted peppers. Mishmash is typically served alongside crispy slices of bread or toast and is enjoyed for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Although the origins of the dish are not familiar, it is an integral part of the traditional Bulgarian cuisine. Mishmash.
Mishmash.
Huh. Mishmash.
All right. I mean, it looks good.
It
like,
does.
I think I'd eat it. Like,
and it's prepared with eggs, so it's like...
Yum.
It's eggs,
vitamins,
veggies, yeah, like, you know, it's got cheese, says other ingredients include sautéed onions, salt, and pepper. What? That's a combo pepper. I've never heard of. And Bulgarian white cheese. Yeah. And okay. Then here we got kofta. I've heard good things about kofta.
Yeah, I want it. It looks good.
Yeah.
It's just meat, though.
It
like,
is.
I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, meat. You saw
me. Ooh, meatballs. Yeah, that's. But it's a Bulgarian meat patty. It does look like just like hamburger steak, you know?
It does.
But it's a Bulgarian meat patty that are usually made with pork, veal, or beef, or a combination. The meat is ground, then combined with onions, parsley, salt, pepper, and cumin. Savory is often added as a seasoning. So the savory sauce is what they call that, in order to enhance the flavors. The patties are then grilled until browned on both sides, and they should be served immediately. Kofta are often served with bread and baked rice on the side. This has, like, chips. Those look like those chips.
Chips.
Yeah, those look like chips, man.
It's either that or it's really thin bread.
Right. Super thin bread. Yeah. That's like, man.
Wow.
Yeah. They're like, bread makes you fat.
Bread make you fat? Here's a tiny slice.
Yeah, here's little slices. Oh, man. And then this next one here, I got to say, it's got my name written all over it just because it looks like a creamy sauce.
Yeah.
Anything does. That's a creamy sauce, I'm game.
It's yogurt.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bulgarian yogurt. Like. Jeez. Not Greek.
Tartar.
Yeah, not Yoplait. I mean, this is Bulgarian yogurt. Tartar is a Bulgarian cold soup. Never mind. I thought this was a dip. I mean, that bowl is no bigger than that walnut.
Right.
So I thought this was a dip.
Well, that's like an actual serving size, not American sized.
Right.
That's what it is.
My American.
We're thinking
is
in
showing.
Terms of I. Yeah.
Yep.
We eat whole giant plates of food while they're like, walnut sized bowl, please.
They're like, oh, please, a moderate portion. And as an American, I'm like, give me the most you can for the money I have provided.
Moderate means two hands full, right?
Right. Yeah. But it's got Bulgarian yogurt, cucumbers, garlic, chopped dill, sunflower oil, walnuts, and a bit of water or ice.
What? Water
cold
or
soup.
Ice?
Cold soup.
I don't like it.
Listen, this is a refreshing soup, especially in North Macedonia, so some ingredients might be omitted. Nuts are sometimes replaced with bread, and cucumbers are sometimes replaced with carrots or lettuce. What? Could you imagine carrots or lettuce in this?
I guess. I don't
That
want
seems
it.
Weird. Yogurt
I feel like
and
it should
lettuce?
Be a sauce. I feel like it should be a sauce instead of like its own little like,
soup.
Soup.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, it reminded me of tzatziki at first when I saw it.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like.
And yeah, now I'm like, Bulgaria, come on.
If I had something to dip it in or dip into it.
Right. See, this looks like a dip. You guys are doing it wrong. Whole country of Bulgaria, you're doing this wrong. I'm sorry. It's like, nope. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I just, and the thing is the, it's crushed walnuts too. So it's not, yeah. Anyway.
Very substantial.
Yeah. It's a very thin soup, you know. Anyway.
Gosh. I'm reading ahead to what you're about to say, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. A simple terator is made with vinegar and water instead of yogurt.
Disgusting.
The soup is always served well chilled.
That is not a soup. Vinegar and water.
Oh, yeah, it's popular on hot summer days. Vinegary water soup.
Maybe I'm not Bulgarian. That's nasty.
Oh, boy. The Bulgarian pie.
Okay, you got me back in.
Yep, got me back in.
It was meat or like a confectionery good.
Right.
I'm always down.
I'm back
cold
in.
Cold soup? No.
Yeah. Basically, if you're in Bulgaria, one, they're not going to say soup or salad. They'll just say soup, and you go, no. That's probably your answer. No. But yeah, the Bulgarian pie banitsa, probably made with cheese, is the main version of this traditional pie. It's made by layering sheets of buttered phyllo pastry with a combination of eggs, yogurt, and cheese, such as serine and feta. There's an optional ingredient in the preparation of banitsa, and it's baking soda, which makes the yogurt rise and makes the pie fluffier and richer in flavor.
I like it.
Yeah. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Traditionally, banitsa with cheese was prepared and served on Christmas and New Year's Eve. But nowadays, it can also be bought throughout the year at grocery stores, street vendors, kiosks, and pretty much everywhere. Apart from this basic variety, there are also types of savory or sweet banitsa pies filled with various vegetables and fruits. So, yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
You know, I can do it. And then I can definitely do it with this next salad here. It is a shapska salad.
This salad's full of stuff. My goodness.
It is. Yeah, it's like a whole garden inside of a bowl, basically. It is a traditional cold salad that is one of the national dishes of Bulgaria. It's often served during the summer when one can find it in most Bulgarian restaurants. And it is made of chopped tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, roasted and raw peppers, and Bulgarian cheese, along with sunflower oil and apple cider vinegar for some acidity. And yeah, they'll put serene cheese, parsley. It's originally created in the 1950s when Bulgarian top chefs were asked to create dishes that would attract tourists to the country. The vegetables are typically salted, drizzled with the sunflower oil, and sprinkled with grated Bulgarian serene cheese on top.
Yum.
Yeah. That's that. And what's interesting is they're like, this is shapska. It is a cold salad. And it's like, no lettuce. No lettuce,
no lettuce whatsoever.
All vegetables. So it's, you know, it does look like a traditional salad, technically, but like, no lettuce or anything. They put that in their soup. They're cold soup.
Okay.
They need some lettuce or cabbage. Just something leafy.
Yeah, something leafy.
Yeah, something leafy.
But you know what, though? I would chat down on that salad. It's got everything I like in it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And see, here's another one here. Here's the savory version, I think, because it's banitsa again, right? But this banitsa is more, you know, like your actual, you know, what do they call it? Like street vendor banitsa.
Yeah.
It's not just cheese. Yeah. This one is, it's a mixture of eggs, yogurt, and white cheeses. They have a classic version of banitsa. Besides the classic cheese filling, this pie can be made with a ton of different ones, such as Zelnik, Zelnick can be made with filling of leafy greens like spinach, nettles, marigold, parsley, and cabbage. Praznik is made with leeks, while Luchnik is a type of bonitsa filled with onions. So these are the more, besides cheese, these are the savory bonitsas, right? Yes. And see, to me, it reminds me of spanakopita, which is spinach filled in phyllo dough usually. Yeah. Yeah, the Greek dish. And then this next one here, you could have convinced me it was fish and chips.
It looks like it.
just no chips. They just have carrot slices. Why, I don't know. It looks really basic, and I'm like, that's really weird. It's and then you read about it. Yeah, it's a snack. It takes up a whole plate, but it's a snack. Kashkaval pain, or pane, is the name for Bulgarian fried cheese. It's made by breading and frying yellow Kashkaval cheese. This sheep's milk cheese is semi-hard in texture, and it's especially well-suited for cooking, grating, and melting. Kashkaval pane is often served as an appetizer in pubs or street food item that's beloved for its portability. It's a brick of fried cheese.
I love it. It's totally original, never been thought of before.
Amazing, never done.
Ingenuitive, imaginative, amazing.
Yeah. So I've always thought mozzarella sticks are a joke. It's just a stick. It goes right in my mouth, out my body. This will be a brick to the face, and it will stay stuck in your innards probably for months. I mean, it's just hopefully a brick.
Until I go.
Right. As I get on the plane, right, as I get on the plane, I'm like, that Kashkaval pane.
Feeling it. It's coming back.
It's coming back. In Romania, the dish is known as Kashkaval pane, and it's traditionally accompanied by fries, mashed potatoes, or mamaliga. I'm not kidding. I just read, it's traditionally accompanied with fries, mashed potatoes. I don't know what mamaliga is. Here's my story. I think somebody from Bulgaria went to England or the UK, and they were like, oh, hey, Tommy, you got back from the UK. What is their staple food? And he didn't know what fish were. That's what I'm guessing. He didn't know what fish. So he just was like, you know cheese? Yeah, fry it. How do you fry it? Like a stick? Kind of like the Italians or the Americans? The mozzarella stick? And no, brick. Whole brick.
Whole brick.
You batter it and you
bread it and then fry it.
You fry it. And it's like, what do we put on top of it? Some parsley. And you serve it with fries. It's like...
Mamaliga is a porridge.
Oh, a porridge. Yeah,
it's a porridge made with yellow maize flour.
See? There you go. And then you got katuk.
I think I would love that.
I think I would, too. Depending on the... It's a sheep cheese, so it's got to be acidic and kind of tangy, which would be great with the fried aspect of it. So I make fun of it only because it looks odd, but I bet I would eat the whole thing, which scares me a little.
No.
Like, why does my body want me to do that?
Bulgaria should be, like, my last stop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll go there, and I'll eat my fill, and then I'll never leave because I'll be dead.
Right. Friends.
Fried cheese.
Yeah, friends, grandchildren, they all meet you, in Bulgaria.
In Sofia.
Yeah. And you're sitting in this restaurant, and you order the appetizer, Kashkaval. And they're like, well, what are we doing here? Like, what's our plans? And you're like, I'm going to eat this plate, and then I'm going to fall out of this chair. So
I'll do a Peter Pan quote at him. I'll be like, this will be an awfully big adventure, and then I'll just tuck in.
And just as you fall out of the chair,
no, stop, and I push them away, and I keep
they're all screaming like, Joel, we're gonna call an ambulance. And then they're like, you hear off in the distance, wee, 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 wee. And you're just,
and then
like,
I go into the light.
Right And then you're just, as you're laying down and you're eating your Kashkaval, and everybody's like, you're choking on it, and you're just like,
delicious.
Yeah. Don't stop me. Just boom.
That's how I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone, really, your friends, your family, they're like, we're in Bulgaria now, and Joel is gone. He's.
Yeah.
What I'll the make heck?
It'll be a wedding invite, but there's no groom.
Yeah. You also have to. You also have to mention that you spent your entire fortune getting them the plane tickets to come to Bulgaria.
Yes, of course. We'll make anybody else pay for it.
Right.
Watch me kill myself with cheese.
With cheese.
With cheese.
I paid for your return flights. Good day.
See you next time, kids.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, here we are, katuk. Katuk is a traditional Bulgarian specialty that's made by combining mashed cheese, starting off great, plain yogurt, or Greek yogurt,
okay,
strained sour milk with oil.
It's a lot of dairy.
Woo! garlic, salt, herbs, and spices. Wow. The dish can be... They do. They go acidic, and they go, like, munchy fat. That's, like, what they hit. I wonder how many gallbladders are coming out of Bulgaria. That's
it's their main economy.
Yeah,
Their healthcare around gallbladders.
Yeah. The dish can be prepared with different types of cheese, such as the favorite, serine, feta cheese, or izvara, a soft, unsalted white cheese. I gotta admit... My wife, Kaylee, she would hate this place because there's so many soft white cheeses. She hates soft white cheese. I don't know why. She likes mozzarella. That's like the softest, whitest cheese you can get.
Yeah.
But she, anyway.
That's what it is. It's the whitest cheese.
It's the white, alabaster. Yeah. While typical spices and herbs used to flavor it include smoked or regular paprika, black pepper, and freshly minced dill or parsley. Some versions add roasted red peppers, walnuts, cucumbers, pickles. Katuk is a versatile dish. Yeah, it sounds like you'd include a whole pantry in it. Like,
I mean, anything goes with cheese, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, that's what we're learning. Fat and buttery fat. Anything goes with it. It works. And you can have it with a glass of rakia. Oh, yeah. And then there's katino metse, which is usually served as an appetizer. It consists of small pieces of pork and veal that are fried in oil with leeks, peppers, and onions. These ingredients are then baked or stewed in a clay pot with mushrooms and white wine, and the whole dish is generously garnished with parsley before serving. Didn't have an image for that one, but that one actually sounds like something I would enjoy. Like, I would like that a lot. I love leeks, peppers, onions, and pork and veal. I mean, small pieces of it. Why not? That just sounds like a meat stir fry. I can go with that. I can do that pretty well. Then the next one here is ezik vymazlo. It is a traditional Bulgarian dish that is made with slices of tongue fried in butter. Ah, beautiful. The dish is typically made with veal tongue, but it can also be made with pork tongue. So doesn't matter. Just any tongue, throw it in the pan, fry it in butter. The tongue is first cooked in salted water with bay leaves and black pepper. So this is going to be rich in flavor. Then cut into thin slices, which are pan fried in butter. Alternatively, the sliced tongue can be dredged in flour, eggs, and breadcrumbs before being fried. The fried slices of tongue are typically served hot as a mezze dish that is usually garnished with finely chopped parsley. Ugh,
I can see the taste buds on it.
What I find interesting, so one of my favorite style of tacos is lengua, and that is tongue, right? Yeah. I love it. And so tongue is really good, but if somebody said, like, hey, we're going to grab your lengua and scrap the original recipe you thought this was, we're going to put it in just salted water with these bay leaves that you have no idea how it improves the meat, and pepper and salt, and then we're just going to fry it in butter. Yum. It just doesn't sound like there's any other spices, like anything with it. Like it just, man. And they're like, oh, well, hey, to make it better, we'll fry it for you. It's like, okay, then. Awesome. But this next one here, predominantly white in color. So once again, got a feeling this isn't going to be a Kaylee treat. Snezhanka or Snow White is a refreshing salad made with ingredients such as cucumbers, garlic, dill, oil, salt, and the Bulgarian staple yogurt.
It's missing, like, the salad base, you know?
Right.
It's another salad without any lettuce or anything. Yeah. Like, so you just got, like, cucumbers with, like, yogurt. Yeah.
No tomatoes on this one. That's it.
No, there's no tomatoes.
No tomatoes. So if you add tomatoes, it's a salad. If you take out the tomatoes, add water and more sunflower oil, not just any oil, it's a soup. They've grabbed this one dish and made it into like six different things in Bulgaria. That's what I'm noticing, is that's what they're doing with this. They're like, just grab yogurt, grab dill, cucumber, walnuts, and salt, and you can make five different dishes out of this. You're ready. Don't worry. Of course, you know, like we say that, I don't know, Taco Bell, right? Oh, it's a tortilla with meat and cheese and lettuce. What's the burrito like? Oh, it's the tortilla with meat, cheese, lettuce, and a tomato. Oh, cool. What's a Mexican pizza? It's two tortillas with meat, cheese, and, well, we put more tomato on top. It's just, yeah, it's the same thing in Bulgaria with this yogurt soup mixture. The last one here, Serene Poshopsky. It's consisting of white Bulgarian cheese and tomatoes baked in guaveche, a traditional earthenware pot. The ingredients are layered in the pot, seasoned with chili peppers and parsley, and finished with an egg on top. It is believed that the dish originates in the area around Sofia.
I think that would be really good.
That would be good, yeah. It refers to the Shopi people who live near the capital of Sofia.
Shopsky?
Yeah, or Shopsky. Yeah, the reasons can be, the name Shopsky, which refers to the Shopi people. And then there's Kayopalo, which is a delicious vegetable spread that is most commonly associated with Bulgaria. Although it's popular in Turkey, in its simplest form, the spread is made with roasted eggplants and garlic, but it has numerous regional varieties. Almost reminds me of, Baba Ganoush. That's what it reminds me of. Yeah, Baba Ganoush. Kayopalo is a dish that does not have a unique use. It is consumed as a spread on bread or crackers, or it can be served as a condiment and grilled on meat dishes and even consumed as a salad. Once again with the salads. Bulgaria also has and is known for their lukanka, a traditional aromatic sausage made with a mixture of minced pork and veal. The sausage is usually heavily spiced with salt, black pepper, hot and sweet peppers, cumin, nutmeg, and coriander. The choice and amount of added spices is highly variable and usually depends on the region. The casing for lukanka is usually made from the cow's or pig's intestines, and once completed, it is usually pressed on both sides to develop its traditional flat shape. And it is flat. It's like a weird oval rectangle. Kind of interesting. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a good part of a meat and cheese board right there, and some salad.
And some salad. If you had some lettuce, maybe.
Yeah. But this is where I think it gets a little bit better. We're going to the desserts of Bulgaria, but before moving to that, Joel, what did you think of their foods?
There's some that I want and some that I'd be like, you can keep it.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's kind of a 50-50 deal where you're either going to love this food or you're going to have a hard time, like, throughout your trip. Not going to be good. Going over the desserts, you have funiki es krem. Yeah, that's right. Funiki Eskrim. And basically, it's just ice cream in a waffle tube. Yeah, pretty interesting. Called Rurki or Rurki Zekremen in Poland. This sweet specialty is a type of cream roll consisting of thin pastry with whipped cream or pastry cream. It is often dubbed a torpedo dessert due to its characteristic shape. So, yeah. Yum. I know. Yeah. And then you have Marudnik. Marudnik is a specialty of the Bulgarian region of Rodope Mountains or Rodope Mountains. It looks similar to a pancake and consists of flour, baking soda, salt, butter, eggs, and the Bulgarian staple, yogurt. Marudnik is traditional.
So much yogurt.
So much yogurt. Imagine being vegan here.
Oh, God. I can't.
You can't. There's no way. Yeah. It's baked on a tikla, a hot flat stone. So, you know, and this goes back to my whole thing. Kaylee tried to bring up waffles versus pancakes. And I've said pancakes are superior. She says no, waffles.
Yeah, waffles.
My thing, pancakes literally are worldwide. They're everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
You can make a pancake on a shield, on a piece of metal, a griddle, a pan, in the oven.
Yeah.
Like, you can make a pancake everywhere.
But which one's better tasting? Better eating experience?
So, here's my thing. Here's Team Pancake. Yeah. Here's my answer.
Should we devote pancakes, a whole episode
to what?
If we should devote a whole episode to this.
We probably should, because it keeps getting brought up. But
you keep bringing it up. You're the one that's obsessed.
I am obsessed, because everybody picks waffle, and I think you're crazy.
Because it's better.
No, you're crazy. Pancakes truly do absorb whatever you put on them. So butter, maple syrup, fruits, anything. I mean, it absorbs it. And you can put it in the batter. And it's great. And you can cook it anywhere. I don't need any special equipment at all.
That's true. I don't care about the cooking process. I care only about the eating it.
Right. And the eating it, I mean, it's a perfect circle.
No.
You know where everything is.
No. Nothing's a perfect circle. Okay, let's just clear that up right now.
Sorry. It is a circular object.
So is a waffle.
That absorbs
you make it a square waffle.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's one of those things.
We can't get sidetracked on this, Devin. We can't. Everyone just know that Devin's got his neuroses, and one of those is that he's obsessed with pancakes.
Yeah, pancakes. I choose, which is odd because, like I said, before Easter, I was known for saying, hey, we're going to go pick eggs. And my answer was, I want waffles. There's chocolate in the eggs, Devin. There's candy. I'm like, I want waffles.
Waffles.
Yeah, I was a little fat, like 5-year-old, and I wanted my waffles before I go hunting for eggs. So as an adult, because I matured. Unlike a lot of people that I know, I have gone to pancakes. Anyways, let's not get distracted.
Let's digress.
Yeah. You have now in the dessert category, Oshav. Oshav is a Christmas Eve treat in Bulgaria. Oshav is a simple dish of stewed dried fruit. It does look dried. You can tell from the apple chips, it looks like.
You can tell from the prunes. The prunes.
Yeah. Oh, I thought raisins. Those were raisins.
No, yep, those are prunes.
Yep. They're the same. I'm an idiot.
See? This idiot thinks that pancakes are
better, and I don't know the difference.
Prunes are raisins.
Man. they're like, hey, you want some prune juice? I'm like, you mean raisin juice?
You mean raisins. Raisins are clearly superior to prunes.
Yeah, prunes. They're like, Devin, no, look, it's the same. I'm like, no, make me my pancakes and put some raisin juice in it.
My pancakes, please.
I need my raisin waffles.
Man, those are definitely prunes.
Yeah, those are prunes.
And it's just like they made like a like a fruit bowl with those in it, but it's got like the juice in there too.
Well, and what's weird is the juice, honestly, this is one where they could have added yogurt and it probably would be better.
Right?
What are they doing?
That would have really pulled this together. Add the yogurt that you're so freaking fond of.
Yeah, they could have done this.
They definitely have. They have to have. They're not moronic.
No.
They've got to have Oshav with yogurt.
Yeah, they've got to have that.
The next one.
Yeah, donuts.
Donuts.
Gazanlak. Gazanlak donuts are a specialty of the Bulgarian town of Gazanlak, also known as the City of Roses. Oh, really? I know a City of Roses. It's not called Gazanlak. The donuts consist of eggs, flour, yogurt, milk, yeast, salt, sugar, and vanilla flavoring. After the dough has been fried in hot oil, Gazanlak donuts are typically dusted with powdered sugar or topped with honey, jam, syrup, although they can be consumed without any toppings. I knew that taste, Atlas. I know. I consume donuts quite often.
I have donuts without toppings, like, pretty regularly when I have donuts. Like, that's all usually the time. Normal.
Right, right. No toppings, just eating. That's, yeah. Then there's torta garage, which actually looks like the cake from IKEA.
I've never seen such a cake.
yeah, it's a decadent cake. It is one of the most popular Bulgarian desserts. It consists of five delicate walnut sponges layered with dark chocolate. The whole cake is then covered in glistening chocolate icing or a creamy ganache, decorated with walnuts, desiccated coconut, or that is desiccated, right?
Desiccated
coconut, sliced almonds, or chocolate ornaments. The cake was invented by Austro-Hungarian confectioner Costa Garash in 1885. At the time, he was working at a lavish hotel in the city of Ruse.
City of Ruse.
He later went to Sofia and continued to prepare the cake. Yeah. And then there's Kurabiki. Kurabiki.
Why are you reading it like Lion King or something?
Right.
Kurabiki.
Kurabiki. Yeah. What's interesting about that is I bet you anything, like, if people in Bulgaria are listening to this, they're like, he does not know how to do our accent whatsoever. No. Like,
of course. We're Americans. We're big, smelly Americans. Please forgive us.
Yeah. We reek of dairy and we can't. Really count or understand what other foods are. Maybe that's just me.
That's definitely me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. But it isn't.
I have trouble discerning whether things are edible or not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough out there.
It's tough. Is this food? We hope.
Why are you looking at our bushes? I'm like, oh, I'm an American. I thought this was the.
I thought this was your salad.
Right. Right.
I thought this was just missing the yogurt.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm used to these portion sizes, but I forgot I'm abroad. Kurabiki is a Bulgarian variety of the popular Middle Eastern cookies known as kurabiya. In Bulgaria, these sweet cookies consisting of butter, honey, egg yolks, sugar, and flour are especially popular during the festive holiday season. Typically shaped into balls, the cookies are often dipped in a coarse sugar before baking. When delicately browned, kurabiki can be consumed at once or stored in tightly screwed jars and tins. And then the big one here, tikvenik. Tikvenik is a traditional Bulgarian pastry consisting of thin sheets of dough that are filled with grated pumpkin, coarsely ground walnuts, sugar, and cinnamon. This pumpkin dessert is a sweet version of banitsa, a phyllo pastry pie. When baked, tikvenik is sliced and usually dusted with powdered sugar. Tikvenik is often associated with winter season and is commonly served on Christmas Eve, but it can be enjoyed throughout the year. Yeah. Then we're moving on to the last segment of the foods and things, Bulgarian beverages. You have Dayuleva. Dayuleva is rakia, basically.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Dayuleva.
Dayuleva. But it's Rocky. Borat. I know. That's what I was channeling. I was trying. It's known as Rakia. It is one of the most popular spirits in the Balkans period. It's usually of excellent quality. Dunja Veka is a potent spirit. It's 40% alcohol by volume. So, yeah. Yeah. And then there's Rakia. So, not Rakia, but Rakia. Rakia is a universal term for various fruit brandies. So, a little bit different.
Oh.
Not much. And then number four, yogurt. Yogurt is a favorite drink in Bulgaria.
Look, yeah, I like yogurt.
I do too.
I mean, it's not the jam that these people are making it out to be.
They act like this saved their civilization from calamity.
They're like, that's the only thing that we had going.
And it's
like, surely you had something else. And they're like, no, ever since like 1500 BC, yogurt.
Yeah, yogurt. That's what we've got, and we let it ride. Then you've got Mavrud. Mavrud is a highly valued native Bulgarian grape. Varietal Mavrud is typically a medium-bodied wine with firm tannins, good acidity, and deep ruby red color. So it's a good, good, good red wine. That's what I'm realizing.
I'll take their word for it. I usually have red wines, and I'm like, that's dry!
Yeah, yeah. I'm truly a wine lover. And that doesn't mean that I, like, adore wine. It's just I like all wines. Doesn't matter if it's white, red, dry, sweet. I usually like all wines. I'm a good fan. Yeah, yeah. I'm one of those annoying people that, like, when they're like, oh, what's your favorite blah team, like, on the NFL or MLB, NBA? I'm like, oh, I like all of them. I just like the sport. I just wear my NBA, MLB, NFL hat because I like all of it. Yeah. Anyways, but we've got Casello Mlyako. I'm guessing this is yogurt. Oh, yeah. Also known as Bulgarian yogurt. It's cited as one of the oldest and first types of yogurt that appeared in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
It's made without any additives, typically from cow, sheep, buffalo, or goat's milk. It's probiotic bacteria, Streptococcus thermophilus. Oh, my God. They're going into scientific wording here. Bulgaricus. So it is discovered by the Bulgarian microbiologist Stamen Grigorov. Yeah. And then the number one drink, Melnik. Shiroka Melnishka Loza is an ancient, late-ripening Bulgarian grape variety that is in the southwestern parts of the country in regions of Melnik, Petrich, and Sandanski. The grape is also commonly used in blends. It has complex nuances of tar, leather, and spices, and is typically known simply as Melnik after a namesake town in Struma Valley. Yeah. So that is going to be our last part on the foods here. I typically try to go over, you know, TripAdvisor stuff in Sofia. The main thing is that pretty much all the restaurants are yogurt places. They just serve yogurt.
Are you kidding me?
It's
okay, Bulgaria, the land of yogurt.
You're right.
I got it. That's land what we can take away from this whole thing.
You nailed it. Yes, you nailed it. It is purely just a country made of yogurt. It's not even people. It's they're just yogurt.
It's yogurt that's embodied a human conscience.
Yeah. And so, but I will go over the cost of traveling to Bulgaria.
Oh, yeah, let me know that, because I'd like to go.
Right. That way you can go to the yogurt places. This is for Saturday, August 20th, to the next Saturday, August 27th. The cheapest flight is $1,009. It will take you 25 hours to get there. And the best price is $1,554, but you'll get there in 18 hours. Yeah. Now, the quickest flight is $2,167.
Oh my gosh.
And you'll get there in 15 hours.
I'll just give everyone a little trick. Just get to Europe, and then you can get cheaper flights in Europe, around Europe. So that's a way better way to cut on these costs right here.
Way better. Way, way better. But yeah, you can fly on the best one anyways. You go, I did it from Portland. So Portland to Denver, then Denver to Munich, and then to Sofia. Yeah. So and then once you land in Bulgaria, you should plan to spend around about 100 lebens or whatever it was called. Let me see that again.
100 of their monies.
Yeah, 100 of their monies. Yeah, a lev. So yeah, 100 lev, which is about $54 per day on your vacation in Bulgaria. And then $13 on meals, because it's mostly yogurt. So you just go to a grocery store and get yogurt. And then it's 20 lev or 11 American dollars on local transport. A average hotel price in Bulgaria, for a couple is $58 or 108 lev. And a, 1 week costs on average about $754. So not bad once you land. The problem is, honestly, like I said, it's just so much yogurt. I don't know if I could make it.
I know I could make it, but, the plane ride back might, you know, keep me from getting on because I'll be so fat from all the yogurt.
Right. I basically, I don't think that, I think that somehow I would tell them, like, I feel fine. There's no way I could test positive for COVID. And they're like, well, you didn't test positive. It went positive, positive, positive. And I'm like, what? And they're like, your gut bacteria could cure
three or four different kinds of COVID.
Right. Your gut bacteria could cure so many diseases right now that we're actually going to put you into surgery immediately to extract all the biomes that are within your body. They're like, where did you come back from? I'm like, Bulgaria. They're like, yes.
We've seen this before.
Yeah, the land of yogurt.
The yogurting.
Yeah, but making fun of the yogurt Bulgarians enough, I did want a last note of interest here. Really? Then we'll move on to Joel's favorite part, where we click on the random country.
Don't make it seem like it's all that much work. Click on a country.
Click on the country. Yeah. Bulgaria was, and this is from the Welsh-Polish historian Norman Davies, who, believe it or not, has a honorary Polish citizenship.
Oh.
Right. He's Welsh, but he has an honorary Polish citizenship.
That's pretty cool.
Right. Basically, Bulgaria was the only Axis country to deflect insistent German demands for the deportation of its Jewish population.
So, pretty cool people.
Right. Yeah. I literally, that is a factoid that if somebody would have said it outside of what I would have been like, what are you talking about? Like, I would have heard that by now. Like, what do you, like, that can't be right. Like, Bulgaria's the only country. Like, you got it. And no, Norman Davies, he said it. Bulgaria was the only Axis country to deflect insistent German demands. So they were like, we're part of your whole thing, Germany, but this whole, like, Jewish thing, you want all of our, like, we're not doing that. Like, no way. No way, Jose. So, yeah, just an interesting little factoid there. But yeah, so now we go to the random country. Right now it's on the USA. That's right. Yeah. It's on the USA, Joel. Where do you think it's going to go?
It is going to go to, we're going to go to Nepal.
Nepal. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh man. I'm going to say, I'm going to go with a wild card here. North Korea. I'm going to say North Korea. Because we've hit like every... Dark. Yeah, we've hit every problem child country that I can think of where it's like, uh-oh. So why not North Korea?
The last one in a bunch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So so I don't know. We'll see. Here we go. Random country. Jordan. Jordan.
Oh, so, okay. That's okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Middle East. Yeah, you got it's Arabic language, and the population there, 10 million. That's pretty good. Yeah, national flower is the black iris.
Ooh.
Hmm. And it says here the national dish is mansaf. So looking forward to that.
Whatever that is.
Whatever that is. Yeah. So we will learn that next time on Mapping the Culinary World. Hopefully there's even more yogurt. That's what I'm hoping. So
seems to be. Seems the world runs on this stuff.
Yeah, it runs on it.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
At least all the episodes you've had me on, there's always a lot of yogurt.
There's a lot of yogurt. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of yogurty yogurt things that just tend to peek their head around somewhere. There's a dip, a soup, a bread. Doesn't matter.
A broth.
Throw yogurt. Yeah, broth.
Start adding stuff on.
But Joel, I appreciate you coming on, and we will see everybody next time in Jordan. Peace. Goodbye, everybody. Eat.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.